In-kind support for KD&K comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going good.
Good. I feel really fresh.
Yeah. It's nice Cyber Monday.
Yeah. I almost forgot it was Cyber Monday, and I haven't had anybody call me out and go, "It's Cyber Monday and I can't get online." So,
well, apparently everything's working then.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just got done. I'm in the process of moving.
Mm-hmm.
And everything went well on getting my house, although I was, as Arlo Guthrie would say, inspected, injected, detected, and selected. And they were leaving no part of me untouched. But anyway, in the process of cleaning out my shop, I encountered, I think I filled up 12 recycle bins for Trinity Recycling, for Tech Recycling.
Mm-hmm.
12 bins of stuff. I'm on a first name basis with those guys down there.
Uh-huh.
Now. Yeah. And it really, the main thing that came home to me is, because the last time I moved was 8 years ago, and the thing that really hit home for me is how much our business has changed. You know, it is, because I mean, I've got all these drawers full of adapters and all these different cables and all these different brackets and all these fans and all these old power supplies. And, you know, I've just got all kinds of stuff, you know, that were,
do you have any like 500 watt ATXE power supplies left?
I did.
Oh, darn.
Sorry.
I got a box that needed one.
I know where you can find one though. Trinity Recycling. Probably under, you know, a pile of other null modem adapters or something like that. Uh-huh. So, but anyway, it just really, really hit home for me how much this business has changed, because it's all about software now, you know, for the most part.
Well, yeah. The only thing that's really changing hardware wise right now is the movement from USB-A to USB-C for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's really I have a USB-C keyboard now. I have a USB-C monitor, which will, you can put your screen on your laptop up on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
It provides enough power for some laptops, to be charged from the USB-C port, mm-hmm. from the monitor. So there's just one cable, from the monitor to the computer, and it runs everything.
Yep. So do you realize though that, because I was shopping for a mid-range priced laptop with USB-C charging. The reason being, and this is a concern that's going to be kind of like coming to the forefront here, is that we now have an aging generation that basically have a significant amount of computer use time under their belts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're moving into, some of them are moving into a period of time where they may be having health issues, and namely strength or coordination, things like that. The reason I'm saying that is because I've kind of gone through a whole round of repairs with a client where the problem has to do with, they have a charging cable like this on this laptop here that sticks out even further.
Mm-hmm.
And because of physical coordination problems, keeps getting hit laterally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the jack on the inside is breaking, mm-hmm. and has been now replaced 3 times. And so those of us Mac users who take the magnetic breakaway connector that they just phased out.
That they just phased out, yes.
Who take that magnetic breakaway connector for granted, don't realize that there are very few, I guess they must have written the patent really well on that magnetic breakaway connector, because there are very few analogs to that connector The only one that I've really found that is really kind of halfway the same is on the Microsoft Surface. You know, they have the little long connector.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, it breaks away very clean and easy. And however, I discovered that there is a USB-C adapter that goes in. It's a two-piece assembly, and it basically allows you to it creates an intervening assembly that has a magnetic breakaway on it
for charging,
for USB-C for charging. Exactly.
Does it do data as well, or is it just charge? Well, I'd have to look at the specification.
Yeah, I don't know. I that's not a question that I asked.
Do you have one?
You know, I do not.
Okay.
No.
We'll have to.
The problem I ran into is then, you know, kind of where I started, is that the cheapest PC laptops, at least at that moment in time, which was all of 2 weeks ago, the cheapest laptops that had USB-C charging were at the four figures mark, $1,000.
Really?
Yeah. The ones down in the $500, $600 range where I was like really shopping, the price point for mm-hmm. that job, do not have it.
I'll have to check my supplier. Although I think I spent just over the 4-digit mark for the one I got that did USB-C charging.
Let me know. It seemed to me like the minute you're ready to spend $1,000, it's not a problem. But if you're under that, you know, there may have been an $899 or, you know, whatever, but, or you maybe it was like the older model and they priced it down by $100 or whatever. But anyway, if anybody wants to call in with their computer questions, our number is 970-963-2976. And, if you need help jiggling your cables, if your USB and your USB-A and your USB-C are not talking to each other, I've got a dumb look for you. But the magnetic breakaway thing is really more special than we realized. Yeah. I think, you know.
Those MagSafe 1 and 2charging things. The weak point was always the cable, which I mean. It is an expensive charger for what it mm-hmm. is.
Yep.
But at the same time, it's a lot easier to replace a cable that you unplug and plug into all the time
mm-hmm.
Than taking the computer apart and dealing with it. Now I have seen those MagSafe charging, they go bad, and I've seen like staples and get pulled uh-huh. in by the magnets, and it like pushed the board in, so it didn't connect well anymore. But but still.
Mm-hmm.
Genius. That's just another way around.
Here is a really good trick. I don't know if you've heard this or not, but you know how like the point of fatigue on a laptop charging, you know, so laptop chargers all have two cables, or either they have a set of tongs.
Yeah, they have at least two.
Yeah, they either have prongs that stick out that go into the wall, or there's a cable that goes into the wall, and then there's the thin cable that goes to the laptop, and the fatigue point is always like right there. Right where it enters into the charger and where it connects to the connector,
mm-hmm.
you know, where it actually goes in. So I don't know if you've heard this trick or not, but if you take apart a couple of old ballpoint pens and you pull the springs out and you basically wind that spring around the cable at each one of those stress points, it will breathe a whole bunch of life into that cable. It just gives it a little bit of reinforcement,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of flex there. And it will, I've got one that, I mean, ever since I put that on, I don't think it's gotten any worse. You know, it was, I waited until it started to kind of go.
Just to see.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
But, yeah. So there's a little tip for you. If you got a couple old dead ballpoint pens, pull the spring out, repurpose that bad boy, wind it around the ends of your charging cables, and it'll give you a little bit of strain relief. So on that. So.
Awesome.
And, let's see. There was something else I was going to say.
I was going to say, you're listening to KD&K, 963-2976.
Yeah. I just filled out my labor of love, auction form. So,
yeah, that's
anybody who wants to buy some computer love.
There you go.
I'm doing productivity enhancement this time.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So one of our listeners sent a message on kdnk.org asking about Firefox and DuckDuckGo. So I've been using, personally and for my business, been using...
Well, why don't you elaborate on what was the question more?
So they want our expert opinion on Firefox and DuckDuckGo.
Okay. Because one, Firefox is a browser.
Right.
And DuckDuckGo is a search engine. So how do we...
Well, I think we'd go... Should we talk about browsers and then search engines or...
Sure.
All right.
Absolutely. So, I mean, do you really think... Is there really that big of a difference between Firefox and Chrome and Opera, for instance? Between those three.
So, it depends on what... Well, I think it's more of a privacy thing because if you look at Firefox's current marketing, it's more about privacy on the web. Mm-hmm. And the other thing with me with Firefox is it's pretty much the only secondary, or it's the only browser that uses a different rendering engine than Chromium.
Okay.
Which so Internet Explorer has given up. They've, if you download the latest version or soon to be the latest version of Edge,
okay.
The guts of it are Chromium, which is the base.
Oh, really?
Yes, they're switching rendering engines to Chromium for Windows
That's pretty smart.
Yeah.
It took a page out of the Apple playbook where they adopted Unix as their new operating system. So, or I'm sorry, Linux.
No, Unix is correct because they use the BSD.
BSD, yeah. Exactly.
So,
okay.
So basically, Firefox is the only other rendering engine in town. There's some other really minor ones, but that's way off in the weeds.
Yeah. It's only a matter of time till they go to the dark side, right?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
So that's the big difference is considering privacy, but we're getting a call.
Wow.
You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, Luke, Craig and Rifle.
Craig, how are you?
I'm good, good.
I was about ready to send out a search party for you.
Oh, I'm not hiding.
We figured you'd become full Luddite. I'm
looking at 1, 2, 3, 4 computers, not counting the house, my Galaxy, my iPad, and our 2 smartphones.
Sweet.
I don't think that qualifies as a Luddite.
I notice you speak of the Galaxy and your smartphones in, like, different nomenclature. What is there anything behind that?
No, well, one's Samsung and one is Apple, and the smartphones are Androids. So nobody wants to talk to anybody.
All right.
And the reason I'm calling is I have been using Firefox for a number of years.
Okay.
And then one of the nice things about Firefox is you can click on a little symbol that takes away all the ads, and you can read it like a book.
Okay.
And now I have an 81-year-old friend who unfortunately clicks on the worst thing, and one of them was Chrome. So he has Chrome, which when he turns his computer on, Chrome comes up no matter what he does.
Okay, got it.
You can't put Firefox. You put Firefox, but it loads below it. You can try and do Edge. You can try and do any other browser. But once Chrome is on your computer, I looked up online. I can't find a way to get the damn thing off. I can't find him in his programs to delete it because
really?
His stuff.
Really?
Huh. At least that's been my experience. And he's got Windows 7 on one computer, Windows 10 on the other. He unfortunately clicked on Chrome for both, and it has been a nightmare for him.
Wow.
So man. I don't know if anyone else has had that experience. Firefox, I've got Edge, and I don't use Edge because Microsoft, I don't trust their stuff. But Firefox is pretty much an open platform. And the years that we've had, and I have it on all my computers, it's the nicest thing to run for us.
Okay.
So that's just my input. I just happened to to get onto you guys just now, and I heard your discussion. And as far as Chrome goes, these people are insidious. They're in every part of this guy's computer. Firefox pretty much leaves you alone.
So let me ask you, do you, like, once you fire up your Firefox browser, do you go to google.com to search for things?
I go to Google most of the time. Patty goes to Bing.
Okay.
she hates the Google Nazis, as she calls them.
Got it.
But
okay.
I look
you
up
know
the
where
same,
you know where Chrome comes from, right?
It comes from Google, I believe.
It comes from the Google Nazis.
But they don't ask me, because they do it through Firefox,
Mm-hmm.
I don't get on there. Now, I have I use it, as far as I'm concerned, and we've had this conversation, when you put your password in, you open the world up when you start your computer. So you can go anywhere and find anything. I look up lots of things because, you know, I need to look up lots of things.
You have an inquiring mind.
Correct. And yes. And so I have looked up things on Bing and not gotten decent answers, but on Google I get so much, whatever anyone has to say, when I search with Google, I get so much more than she gets on Bing because she looks things up, and we put the same nomenclature in, and I get the answers to the questions I'm looking for, and she doesn't.
Hmm.
So Bing, as far as I'm concerned, has very pretty pictures when they open up.
They do. Yes.
But as far as finding things, and I've done this, I've got 5-6 years experience at least of doing this on those platforms through Firefox, and Bing versus Google is day and night in that I find what I need through Google.
Yeah.
No matter what people think about it,
mm-hmm.
Google gives the answers that at least seem relevant to me, where Bing is like, what is the matter with you people?
Yeah. Did you catch our show a few weeks ago, or actually,
no.
I guess it was a month ago, where we compared, because we were testing a theory that there was a lot of rumors floating around that that the search engine providers, Chrome or Google specifically, was basically mining demographic information from the users, and that their search results were coming back custom tailored to their demographics.
What is your definition of demographics? Because if you don't put in your name, age, date, anything else,
it guesses.
They have no demographics.
Actually, demographics as is told by your browsing history.
Let's
call it that, I guess.
Okay, based on cookies,
they
want to know about my New York Times, Washington Post, The Atlantic.
Yeah,
all those and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't think that tells them much anyway.
Well, we pretty much debunked it because Matt and I have a distinctively different, browsing history, or fairly different. And we also, Matt tried. There was also the idea that there may have been some
geolocational,
sort of a geographical association with it. That if you're like down in Debec, Colorado, you might get different results than if you were in Aspen, Colorado, for instance. And Matt logged into a VNC server in the Czech Republic, I think, or something.
A VPN server.
VPN server, and tested it. And basically he was getting the same exact results as I was getting in Glenwood Springs. So we kind of debunked a bunch of that. And we also put Google search engine up against DuckDuckGo,
mm-hmm.
and got strikingly similar results.
I did try DuckDuckGo just because of the Google Nazi thing, mm-hmm. but I didn't get the results for me that I thought were satisfactory compared to Google.
See, and with me, I'm about 99.7% DuckDuckGo at this point. So if I need to search something, I have all my browsers set to DuckDuckGo by default. Type in what I need,
mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, I'm so far down the rabbit hole that DuckDuckGo looks at me and goes, "I don't know what you're talking about." So then I go to Google, and it usually within the first 2 or 3 pages has a reasonable answer for what
he does get. A lot of targeted advertising for Cabela's. He does not understand why that is.
So I'm just saying, I heard this conversation. And the experience I had just last week at this guy's house on 2 of his laptops with Chrome was like, oh, my God, I'm going to take this off. He goes, take it off. I hate it. I couldn't even find it listed in his mm-hmm. programs to uninstall. And I looked online. No one can tell you how to uninstall the damn thing.
Huh. I'm really surprised because I personally have uninstalled it using programs and features a number of times.
Yep.
You have my email, right?
So I do. I'll
send me
you.
How to uninstall because this guy would be very happy.
And I think, and also if you look for Google Chrome removal tool.
Ah, okay. Yeah,
there's a special little
you can actually Google that.
Yeah.
So, I would do that.
So you search for Google Chrome removal tool. So sometimes an install gets just, you know, goes sideways.
Hosed, yeah.
Yep, just it happens. And so basically, Google puts out a special tool that goes through kind of outside of installers and everything and goes, well, this is where Chrome puts everything. We're going to nuke everything.
It's going to scrub it.
It's going to, yep. It's going to scrub everything that Google Chrome installer would have done to your computer. It's going to scrub it off the computer. So like, I use things like that particularly for antiviruses. So if the antivirus doesn't update and gets all funky, you search for the removal tool, you can, you know, nuke it from orbit and reinstall it.
Yeah, pretty much any legitimate program will be a removal tool out there for it because installations do get hosed up.
And, well, you do understand this is not what I do for a living.
Well, I do understand you better be careful because there was a moment when I said that too. And now look at me. So
hey, great talking to you guys.
Great talking to you, Craig. Have
Merry
a great
Christmas.
One, man.
Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And I just wanted to throw my two cents in. Firefox for me has been wonderful. We have it on six different computers.
Nice. Say hi to your sweetie, even though she does use Bing.
I know. An argument I can't win.
All right. Take care, Craig.
See you guys.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. Have a few more minutes left. 963-2976.
Yep. Got time for a 2.5-minute question.
Yes.
Or a 30-second question and a 2-minute answer.
There you go. Yeah. So, Doug, and you don't use, if you want a quick way to get to DuckDuckGo.com is just Duck.com, which was actually owned by Google and given to DuckDuckGo.
Okay. Got it. And I will warn everybody that the letter D and the letter F are right next to each other on the keyboard, and you will get distinctly different results.
Very much
so. If you fat-finger that one. Okay? So, just saying. I think the FCC will let me say that, right?
That's a fair warning.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
that's how QWERTY keyboards are laid out.
Yeah, exactly. It's you just got to be careful. The internet is so unpredictable. So, which I was complaining about the predictive text thing on my phone, but anyway, I wanted to give everybody a really quick heads up. I just came back from the battlefield dealing with a phenomenon known as a spam bomb. And basically, in a nutshell, if you should notice a whole ton of spam just all of a sudden coming into your inbox, and most of them, the way it's done is it's like subscription confirmations or product information. And I just want to give everybody kind of a 911 alert that this is a kind of a new tactic, and you will receive literally thousands of these emails, and very possibly buried somewhere in the middle of those thousands of emails could be an alert from one of your credit card companies or your bank,
so
probably, or something to let you know that somebody is attempting some funny business on one of your financial accounts. So read through, like go back to
your financial institution, password reset or password in the string of emails and just see if anything for those subjects come up.
Yeah, you can do that. Basically, what I found in this particular instance was I found the message that was trying to be smokescreened out was maybe the 15th or 20th message right after it all started. So it'll be right at the very beginning. But it's designed to distract you and frustrate you and make you go in and start bulk clicking, bulk selecting and deleting large blocks of messages, and hopefully then delete the one from your bank, you know, so you don't ever know.
That's insidious.
So, it is insidious. So anyway, we'll talk about Spam Bomb in a couple more weeks and we'll have more information. Go ahead and give the closing there, Matt.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt.
Absolutely. We'll be back on December 16th. Be safe. Have a great time. See you then.
Don't touch your knob.